Today's shiur is Masechta Menachos Daf Ayin Hey, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Dalet on the Beis at the second Mishnah on the Yomid, the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Yomid. As we have learned many times, the most Karvan Minchas require oil to be put in them. The Gemara now begins to discuss, the Mishnah and the Gemara speak about the halacha putting in oil. Actually, the oil, under normal circumstances, is put into the Karvan Mincha three different times. First is Matan Shemen Bekeli. Oil is put on the bottom of the pan. After the oil is put on the bottom of the pan, then the flour is put in there. Machloikis Rishonim. We learned earlier in our Masechta that Paishrim, lukewarm water, is then added. Some Rishonim suggest that the oil is put in before the lukewarm water. Some Rishonim suggest that the oil is actually put in after the lukewarm water. That second placing of oil is called Belila. And the third time oil is put in is Yitzika. Yitzika is after the entire mixture is kneaded into a dough. That's when, or we'll see other opinions as we get into the sugya, that's when the third time oil is put in Yitzika. Machloikis ha'achroinim, if the first putting of oil is ma'akav, if it's absolutely essential, it seems that it is the opinion of everyone that it doesn't have to be done by kohen. Machloikis as well, if it has to be done in the klisharis, if it has to be done in the azara. The Belila certainly is not ma'akif. As we know, the famous Gemara, Kol Haroi Lebila Ein Bila Ma'akev Espa. Furthermore, it seems that you don't need to have a coin for the Bila. Machlaikis, if it requires to be in the Klisharis or in the Azara. Yitzika, it seems, everybody holds, is absolutely essential. Again, a question if it requires Kahuna. It seems that everybody agrees furthermore that the Yitzika has to be done in the Klisharis and in the Azara. Begins our Mishnah. Kol Menachos Anasas Bekeli, all Menachos that are made in a Keli, as we'll see, it comes in the Gemara immediately, it comes to exclude a Minchas Mafa, because the halacha is that the Minchas Mafa is baked in the Tanur, and the Tanur of our Mishnah considers not a Klisharis, and therefore it doesn't fall into the categories, in the category of Kol Menachos Hanasas Bekeli. Tuna Shloisha Matana Shemen requires that oil be put on it three times as we just described. Yitzika, Belila, or Matan Shemen Bekeli, putting oil on the bottom of the pan, Kol Menachos Yosin. Of course, Rashi and many other Mefarshim ask the obvious question, isn't the order that's mentioned in our Mishnah out of order? As we describe, Matan Shemen comes first, and then Belila, and then Yitzika. Yet we find our Mishnah mentioning it just in the opposite order. So I saw a number of Tirutzim. One Tirutz is that what the Rashi explains, that the Mishnah means is Yitzika should be done after there was Belila, and Belila should be done after there was Matan Shemen Bekeli. Another pshat that I saw is that the Mishnah is following the order cited in the Torah. The Torah speaks about Yitzika first, then Belila, and then Matan Shemen Bekeli. Another pshat, very much in line with our introductory remarks to our shir, that since the Yitzika is ma'akiv, it's absolutely essential, Belila and Matan Shemen Bekeli are certainly less of a ma'akiv. That's why the Mishnah mentions Yitzika first. Continues the Mishnah, Chalos Boilolam Divrei Rebbe. When does the Belila take place? According to Rebbe, it takes place after the Minchas and the Menachos have been made into loaves. Chum hold that it's soilus when it's flour. Machloikus Rishonim regarding which Mincha are Rebbe and the Chumim arguing. Most opinions hold that they're arguing regarding all Karvan Minchas. However, there are Rishonim that say that their machloikis is limited to Minchas Machvas and Minchas Macheshes. The Chomamim, the Chom say, Yitzolus, that it's done when it's, the Blila is done when it's still flour. Says the Mishnah further, Hachalas Tunas Blila, Rekika Mashicha. We know that there are two types of loaves that can be made, Chalas and Rekikin. And our Mishnah says that what is the essential difference between Chalas and Rekikin? Chalas have Belila done, the oil is mixed into them, whereas Rekika has Mashicha, where the oil is smeared on the back, on the surface of the rocket. There are Rishonim that say that there another nafkamina between Chalas and Rekikin, where Chalas are made into loaves, and Rekikin are left as wafers. Ketz and Mashchan. So now that we just said that the Rekikin require Mashicha, how was the Mashicha done? Says the Mishnah Kamin Ki. It was made like the Greek letter Ki, and continues the Mishnah, Vishar, and the leftover oil after Mashicha is done, Necholah Kohanim, that you do Mashicha on the rocket, this letter Ki, and the rest of it is eaten by the Kohanim. There's many, many opinions exactly how does the letter Ki look. Some say it looks like a Tes, others say it looks like a Nun, some say it looks like a regular Nun, some say it looks like a Nun Sofit, some say it looks like a Chaf. Another opinion I saw says that it looks like an X. Another opinion I saw says that it looks like a V or a U. And in that alone, there's a machlokes, is it upright V or U or upside down V or U? I saw another opinion that it looks like a crown. And I saw that the Mefarshim asked, in the different opinions that we have just cited, there are really two types of opinions. The one opinion is that it looks like a letter of the alphabet. And another opinion is that it really doesn't look like any letter of the alphabet. So I sort of the Mefarshim ask, according to the opinion that it doesn't look like a letter of the alphabet, we understand why the Mishnah chose to identify it with a Greek letter, because there is no corresponding letter like this in our alphabet. However, they ask, according to the opinion that it does look like one of the letters of the alphabet, shouldn't have the Mishnah mentioned the letter of the alabes rather than mentioning the letter of a Greek letter? So I saw two pshatim how to answer this question. One pshat is that all of these opinions that say that it looks similar to one of these letters doesn't mean that it's exactly like one of these letters. It's similar to one of these letters, but not exactly the same. That's one pshat that I saw. But then I saw another pshat. We know there's a very big difference between the way Hebrew is written versus other languages. Other languages are written left to right. Hebrew is written right to left. And therefore, say to Mefarshim, even according to the opinion that it looked like a Hebrew letter, it wasn't written like a typical Hebrew letter is written, which is right to left. It was done from left to right. Interestingly enough, I saw that the Mefarshim explained, why do we find indeed that Hebrew is written in a different way than all other languages? That our Hebrew is written right to left, and other languages are written left to right. So I saw that the Mefarshim explain. We know that one of the fundamental differences between us and Umas Olam is that we have the Erev Yivoker. The day follows the night. But Umas Olam, the night follows the day. What does that really represent? What that really represents is that by Klal Yisrael, the best is yet to come. We don't necessarily always have it so good in Olam Hazeh, but we're hoping for Olam Haba. We're hoping for a world of Mashiach. The best is yet to come. But at Umas Olam, it's just the opposite. First comes this world, which is the better world, and after this world comes comes the next world, which is not such a, the next world is not such a great world. When you look at a line, you look from the right to the left. The end of the line is on the left. And therefore, we cow from right to left, because the best is yet to come. The Umas Olam, however, go in the other direction, and because they go in the other direction, that's why their letters are written left to right. Continues the Gemara. Lemutimai. Our Mishnah began with the words Kol HaMenachos, or Menachos HaNasis B'Kli. If it's made the keli, that's when there's halacha putting oil three times. What does it come to exclude? As we explained, Amar Rapapa Lemuti Minchas Masa. It's come to exclude the mincha that's baked in the oven. This Tana is of the opinion that the Tana is not a Kli-Soris. And our Mishnah taught us that this, these halachas of how the oil is put in is only regarding a Kohen mincha that's made in the Kli-Soris. Since it's not made in the Kli-Soris, this halacha will not apply. Tana Rabban. The Gemara begins to show us where do we see from the Torah the three types of Matan Shem B'Keli. The Pasuk says the Brice of Inichas Macheshes Kavanecha Soilus B'Shem and Pasuk Mulam Mechatuna Matan Shem B'Keli. The Pasuk clearly identifies there's a din of Matan Shem B'Keli by Inichas Macheshes. Then continues the Brice, there's a Gzeir Shova between the Inichas Macheshes and the Michas Machlas, Kavanecha Kavanecha Gzeir Shova, to connect the halacha of these two Kavan Minchas, Makan, just like we've identified by the Michas Macheshes, there's a halacha of Matan Shem B'Keli, Aflahalim, so too by the Michas Machlas, is there a halacha of Matan Shem B'Keli. Umalahalim, and just like by the Michas Machlas, the Torah clearly teaches us that Yitzika and Belila must be done, as the Pasuk says, and then there's another pasuk that regarding the minchas machlas that says pasos oisoi titin yitzak dole Hashem mincha. So just like yitzik and belila were required by the minchas machlas, afkan so too by the minchas macheshes must they do yitzik or belila. So we learned, continues the Gemara, a machlokes in our Mishnah between Rebbe and the Chachamim, exactly when was the oil, when was the belila done? Chalos by under Rebbe. According to Rebbe, they were done when they were ready made into loaves. The Chachamim that it was done when they were soilus, when they were flour. And the Gemara brings a brisa to give us the basis for this machlokes. Tana Rabbanan soilus belula, melamich and nivlela soilus. To teach us the Rabbanan, since the Torah says that it should be done belula when it's soilus, we see that the belula is done when it's still flour. Rebbe Omer, the pasuk says, Rebbe says chalos by lund. The belula should be done when they're ready into chalos. Shnema chalos belulas. Armeloi. So the Rabbanan said to Rebbe, V'loi lachme toida. Doesn't the Torah say by the lachme toida chalos? And the halacha is that the belila of the lachme toida, when one brings a karm toida, as we're going to learn, you have to bring along with it 40 loaves. And there certainly, as the Gemara will explain soon, e'ev shalavolam shen chalos elosailus, the belila has to certainly be done when they're flour, not loaves. So say the Rabbanan to Rebbe, just because the Torah used the words chalos belulas, does not mean that the belila has to be done when they're loaves, because the Torah uses such wording by the lachme toida, and yet the belila of the lachme toida is done when they're soilus. So the Gemara goes back to explain the procedure according to Rebbe and the Chachamim. Ketzer Oisa, Noisin Shem V'Keli Kodim L'Siyasim. First, oil is put on the bottom of the pan. V'Noisna, and then he puts the flour into it. V'Noisin Shem V'Alo V'Alo, and then he puts more oil and mixes it. V'Losha, and he kneads it into a dough. V'Oifa, and he cooks it. V'Paisasa, and he breaks it into pieces. V'Noisna L'Hashem, and then he puts oil on it, the Kodimitz, and then he does Kamitza. That's the opinion of the Rabbon. However, Rebbe Omer, Chalos Bailun, that the Belila is done with Chala, Shenemar, as Rebbe taught us, the basis of his opinion is because the Torah says, Chalos Belulas B'Shemen. So according to Rebbe, what is the procedure? Case to Isa. Nice Hashem B'Keli Kodim B'Siyasai. Oil is put on the bottom of the pan. For nice night, and then he puts flour. For Losher, and he kneads it. For Oif, and he bakes it. For Faisa, and then he does Pesisa, which we'll discuss later in this year. And then only, V'noisim L'Hashem R'Voiloi, is the Shem put on and done B'lila. The chayz and oisim l'shem, and then oil is put on again to do yitzika, the kaimitz, and then he does kmitz. So Rabbanan said to Rebbe, the Rabbanan said to Rebbe that the basis of your opinion was because the Torah says chalas belulas, by lach meitayda, the Torah uses the words chalas belulas, and there certainly the belila is done when there's still flour. Ask the Gemara, what did the Rabbanan mean? He asked the Kamala Rabbanan le Rebbe. When the Rabbanan said to Rebbe that certainly by the lach meitayda, the belila is done when it's flour, mahi, what do the Rabbanan mean? Says the Gemara, Amr Hashem Rav Yitzchak, Revi is Shemenhi, the entire amount of oil that's used for the lach meitayda is a leg of oil. As we're going to learn later in our perek, the carbon tayda came along with 40 chalas, 10 chalas, 10 rikikin, 10 revukas, and 10 chametz. The entire amount of flour for all of this was 20 asarin, 10 for the 10 chametz, and 10 for the other 10 for the other 30, and the oil, half of a loig, is split amongst the three matzah type of loaves, and a quarter loig for revukas, a quarter loig for chalas, and rikikin, and then another amount, and then another quarter of a loig is used for the chametz. But we have here that for the 20 loaves of chalas and rikikin, they only used a quarter of a loaf. So suggest the Gemara, if we're mixing the oil into it when it's still flour, so whatever amount of oil the Torah tells us to mix, that's the amount of oil we should mix. But if we're going to say that the Torah says that we should mix it after it's chalas, it's impossible to take such a small amount of oil, a quarter of a loaf of oil, and be able to put it in 20 separate loaves. So must mean that even though the Torah uses the words by the lach meitayda of chalas belulas, the Torah means that it should be mixed when it's flour. Similarly here too, even though the Torah uses by all other milchas chalas belulas, it means by that it should be mixed when it's still flour. And most mefarshim, most rishonim have not a girsa, that after this very compelling argument, Rebbe agreed with Rabbanan that indeed the belila is done when it's still flour. There are other girsos that don't have Rebbe conceding to the Rabbanan. I saw that the Mefarshim ask, we have a klal, we have a rule throughout Chas, ain done an efshir mishi efshir. So how could the Gemara suggest that we should learn the halacha of all menachas from the carbon taida? The carbon taida, as we just explained, it was impossible to do belila only when it was flour. Other kabbonists that don't have that rule maybe will be done differently. So the Mefarshim explained that if there's if it's obvious that these two rules are travel together, then we don't say ain donim mishmi efshe mishi efshe. And since the Torah uses the same wording by the regular mincha and by the taida, it's clearly an indication that the belila by both should be done in the same fashion. And if by taida we just proved it must be done when it's soilus, so too should be the case by all other carbon menachos. The Mishnah said, Hachalas tunis belila, rakikin mashicha. Chalas ha belila, and rakikin ha mashicha. Says the Brice, Tanabon, chalas belulis, that the chalas require belila, for loy rakikin belulim, and not the rakikin. Shiyachol, because an argument says the brisa can be made v'lo yidinu. Uma chalash ena tunas mashicha. If chalas that don't require mashicha, tunas belila, rikikin shetuna mashicha, ena din shetuna belila. Certainly, rikikin that have mashicha, certainly they should have to have belila. Tamaloyma, chalas belulas v'lo rikikin belulim. Only the chalas have belila, not the rikikin. There's a number of ways of explaining the Gemara's question. Most rishonim explain that the Gemara's question is that, and we'll understand this better in a moment from the continuation of the Braisa, that the Gemara's question is that both Chalas and Rikikin should require both Belila and Mashicha. Others explain that the Gemara's question is that one should have a choice. The Mishnah and the Braisa are teaching us that Chalas have Belila and Rikikin have Mashicha, The halacha should be that either one should be good by either case. And therefore, if somebody would choose to do bila, to do bila by rechikin, it should be acceptable. And vice versa, if somebody were to choose to do meshicha by chalas, it should also be acceptable. Teaches us the Braisa that these rules that are said in the Mishnah are hard and fast rules that cannot be reversed. And continues the Braisa. Rechikin meshichin. By Rikika, Meshicha is done, the word Chalas Meshicha, but not Meshicha. Shiyachah, because continued the Braisa, a similar type of argument, the following argument can be made. Amar Rikika, Shein Tunis Belila, if the Rikika don't require Belila, Tuna Meshicha, Chalas, Tuna Melila, Ein Adin, Shetuna Meshicha, they certainly require Meshicha, Tamalayma, Rikika Meshuchin, the word Chalas Meshuchas. Ask the Gemara, my Talmudah, how is the Braisa coming to this result? Amar Rava. So explains Rava what the Braisa means is as follows. The Torah many times uses the words belulas bechalas. The Torah many times uses the words meshuchin barikikin. If the halacha were that they both require both, or if the halacha were that either one, either procedure is fine by either one, says Ravitz in explaining the Braisa, and all of the times that the Torah speaks about Chalas, and all of the times that the Torah speaks about Rikikin, doesn't it make sense that the Torah should once, if the halacha is as the Braisa is suggesting, shouldn't the Torah once at least use the word Meshicha by Chala? And shouldn't the Torah at least once use the word Belila by Rikikin? The fact that the Torah is so specific and never doing so is a clear indication that Chalas have strictly Belila and Rikikin have strictly Meshicha. The Mishnah continued, Ketz and Mashchin, Kimen Ki, Vasha Nechel. According to the Tan of our Mishnah, the Rikikin had Meshicha like the letter Ki, and the rest of the oil was eaten. My Kimen Ki, asked him what the Kimen Ki mean, as we explained in the Mishnah, Amar Rav Kahana, Kimen Ki Yevani, like the letter Ki in the Greek alphabet. Tana Rabbanan continues the Braisa. Mincha bo mechza chala mechza rikikin. As we've learned many times in our Masechta, there's a machloikus of the Rabbanan and Rav Shimon, if you could bring a carbon mincha that's half matzahs, half chalas and half rikikin. The opinion of the Rabbanan is that you can never bring such a carbon mincha. It has to be either 10 loaves of chala or 10 loaves of rikikin. However, the opinion of Rav Shimon is that you can bring such a carbon mincha. Mincha bo mechza chalas and mechza rikikin. I can bring a karma mincha that's half chalas and half rikikin. Says the Braisa, what is done? Maybe loit shemen b'chatzayu. Bring the loit shemen that you have to bring with a karma mincha. Chetzil chalas. Half of the loit shemen will be used for the five chalas. The chetzil rikikin, half of the loit shemen will be used for the rikikin. Chalas balav. Chalas habrila. Rikikin mashchan. And then you do meshicha on the rikikin. Umayshech as the rikika of the kula, do the rikika properly. V'shar shem machziru lechalas, and the rest should be put, given back to the chalas. Rav Shimon Yehuda Mishum Rav Shimon Aimer, Mayshchem Kmin Ki, you should do a ki, as we learned. V'shar shem nechalkan, and the rest of the oil is eaten by the kahana. And as many mepharshim explained, the machlokes in this price is as follows: it could well be that everybody in this price agrees that if one were to bring a carbon mincha that consisted just of rikikin, you smear the surface of the rikikin, according to the Tanakhama, the entire surface, according to the other Tana, Kmin Ki, and the rest of the oil is given to the Kahanim. Here, however, we're dealing with a very unique situation. We're dealing with a carbon mincha that you brought half of it as chalas. And as we learned earlier, chalas, you could put in as much oil as you want. Since half of this carbon mincha is chalas, says the Tanakhama, even though normally I agree that the remaining oil should be given to the Kahanim, here I'm saying the remaining oil should be put into the chalas. The Tana, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda disagrees. He says the halacha is that the oil that's remaining from the rikikin is always given to the Kahanim, and this type of carbon mincha should be no exception. But now the Gemara quotes a different braisa. Tani idach. Rikikin abon mefnei atzma. What will indeed be an halacha if somebody brings a carbon mincha that's completely composed just of rikikin? The Tanakhama says, maybe like shemen, bring the leg shemen, or moshchan, do the shmirin, and continue doing the shmirin, chayz and moshchan, at shiach l'kal shemen b'loy. You have to keep on doing shmirin until all of the oil is used up. None of the remaining oil, according to this Tana, goes to the Kohanim. Machlokes ha'achronim, how is this done? Some achronim say you have to wait until the oil gets absorbed into the rokik, and then you shmir again, and wait again, until you use up all of the oil. Other achronim suggest that if this is the procedure that the Torah wants us to follow, there is no need to wait in between. However, Rav Shimon, Yehuda, Shimon, that here, certainly here, he will hold that all you do is mashkin to min ki, you smear it with that looks like the letter ki of the Greek alphabet, v'shar Hashem nafal ta'adim, and the remainder is eaten by the kohanim. Says the Mishnah, we begin now learning the subject of sisa. The Mishnah, Mitzvah Hashem, on top of Amud Beis, will exactly define how sisa is done. But now, our Mishnah teaches us, kol ha-menachas ha-nasas pekeli, all common minchas that are done in a kli sharis, tunas pesisa, require the pesisa procedure. Says the Gemara Lamuti Mai, exactly what does the Mishnah mean to exclude? Amra Papa, Lamuti shtei lechem and lechem upon him. It's common to exclude the shtei lechem and the lechem upon him, that even though they are considered common mincha, because they're made out of flour, still, the halach is that they are don't require sisa. So ask the Rajba, why don't we say, like we said in the previous Mishnah, that the Mishnah is coming to exclude Michas Mafa? Because we learned in the previous Gemara that Michas Mafa is not considered a mincha that's made in a keli. So he answers that the Mishnah here means to teach us that there are carbon minchas that are made that are not made in a keli and require psisa, and there are minchas that are not made in a keli that don't require psisa. The Mishnah isn't teaching us an absolute rule because minchas mafa, even though it's not considered a mincha that's made in a keli, does require psisa. Why taka? So the Mepharshim explained, because even though it isn't made in a kli sharis as much as the other carbon minchas, it is somewhat made in a kli sharis because it starts off that the ingredients are put into kli sharis. And therefore, the Gemara and the Mishnah differentiate between the minchas nafa and the shtei lechem, the lechem aponim. Tan Rabbanan, and the Gemara brings a raya to this approach. Pasas arsepitim, the rabbis call a menachos lepsisa. All menachos, even the minchas nafa. Continues the braisa. Yochel Shani Marba Ashtei Alechem Alechem Aponim Tamaloyma Oysa. It comes to be mad to mat the Lechem Aponim and the Shtei Alechem. Continues the Bryson explaining the Pasuk Yitzak the Shemin HaMincha L'Rabbis Kol Menachah Sweet Zika. The Yitzika has to be done by all Karim Mincha. Yochel Shani Marba Ach Michas Mafa. We learned in the previous Mishnah and Gemara that the Michas Mafa is excluded from Yitzika. Should we suggest based on this Pasuk that the Michas Mafa requires Yitzika, Tamaloymer, Oleho Shemin. That not on all carbon Minchas is Yitzika required. Continues the Braisa. Fine, there's Oleho Shemin, but maybe Oitzias Achalis, for like Oitzias Rikikin. Maybe only when the Michas Mafa was made into Chalis is Yitzika not required, but not when it's made into Rikikin. And there are two ways how to Rishonim explain this Gemara's question. Some Rishonim suggest that the Gemara says Oitzi Tzachalas Lo Oitzi Tzrikikin. The Gemara could have just as well asked Oitzi Asa Rikikin Lo Oitzi Tzachalas. That's one approach. Another approach that I saw in the Rishonim is that since this parsha is by Chalas, this word of Aleho, so it makes sense that if we're going to exclude one type of Minchas Mafa, it should be the Chalas that are excluded. Tamaloymer, there's a second limud of he. That he comes to teach us that both Chalas and Rikikin of the Minchas Mafa are excluded from Yitzika. Ask the Gemara, my Talmud, why are we explaining the Pasuk this way? Why don't we say, Eimel Lahoitzi Minchas Kahanim? Maybe what we should say is that the Minchas Kahanim that is what's excluded from Yitzika. says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Eiza Dovish Tzorach Shnei Miutim. We just found that the Torah has two Miutim, Alel and He. So if we're going to say that it's coming to exclude Chalas and Rikikin, we can well understand why the Torah requires to have two Miutim. Have Omer Zemechus Mafa, and we have one Miut for Chalas, and we have one Miut for Rikikin. However, if the halacha is that we're going to be mamat miches kahanim, why would we need two miyutim? One miyut is enough. So it must be that it's coming to exclude chalas and rikikin. The Mefarshim asks, why regarding yitzika that the Gemara suggests that the miches kahanim should be excluded, but the Gemara didn't ask that question by psisa. Say the Rishonim. Psisa is mentioned by the Miches Machlas. The Miches Machlas is a private carbon that somebody brings. So it makes sense to use that pasuk to exclude the Shtei Lechem and Lechem Aponim, which are not private kabbonis, but rather public kabbonis. That's why, by the Psisa, the Gemara never had to have a meetup that we should exclude Miches Kahanim. But there is no such concept by Yitzika, and that's why the Gemara had to have a meetup that Miches Kahanim should be excluded from Yitzika. So as we began discussing, our Mishnah continues in describing the Pesisa procedure. Miches Yisrael, if Yisrael brings a carbon mincha, Kaifa Lecha L'Shnayim, he folds one into two, the loaf once into two, and then he takes those two and he folds them into four. Or Mavdil, and he separates them into four quarters. Most Rishonim are of the opinion that from those four quarters that we now have, one quarter, even the Tanakhama will agree, is crumbled further. Why? Because as we learned already at the beginning of the Masechta, when Kemitza is done, it has to be strictly in the palm of the Kayan's hand. No, nothing can be standing outside. And if the pieces of the Karma Mincha are so large, it would be impossible to do a Kemitza. And therefore many Rishonim suggest that even the Tanakhama agrees that one of these quarters should be crumbled. Miches Kahanim, the Miches Kahanim, Kaifa Lechel Shnayim, you divide one into two, Vishnayim La'avra, and two into four, Miches Kohen Mashiach, Lo'im Kapla. We know that every day the Kohen Gadol had to bring the Miches Chavitim. Here the halacha is that it wasn't divided like the other Kohen Minchas. Rav Shimon Omer, as we're going to see in the Gemara, it was divided, but not divided like the other Karban Minchas. Rav Shimon Omer, Miches Kahanim, Miches Kohen Mashiach, and the Psisa. He holds that there is no Psisa at all. Why is there no Psisa at all? As Mefarshim explained, Rav Shimon is the Tana throughout Shas, who's Dairish Tama the Kra, and since the entire purpose, says Rav Shimon, of doing psisa is in order to facilitate kmitza. So by these kabbonis that the Mishnah just identified, there is no kmitza. So since there is no psisa, there's no reason to do. Since there is no kmitza, there's no reason to do psisa. The kosher make kmitza says Rav Shimon ain't by psisa. The kulan paisim kazesim, and the pieces are broken into small pieces. There's a very big machlokes rishonim how to understand these last three words of the Mishnah. Many Rishonim are of the opinion that these three last words are a continuation of Rav Shimon's opinion. That Rav Shimon says that Psisa is done, and Rav Shimon goes on to say that when Psisa is done, it should be crumbled into small pieces in order to facilitate Kemitza. Tanakhama will disagree. However, there are Rishonim suggest that the Tanakhama agrees with this. On these last three words, even the Tanakhama agrees that it should be made into small pieces in order to be able to do kmitza properly. The Gemara goes into explaining the psukim regarding psisa. Tanarban pasoitz, yoch l'shnayim, it will be enough to divide it into two pieces, to fold it into two pieces, tamalim pisin. E pisin, if the Torah were to just use the word pisin, yoch l'yasen apurim, one could suggest that you can make it into crumbs, tamalim oisoi. Oisla psisin, the first fold is made into two more folds, the word psisa l'psisa, but we don't continue making it into further folds. Haketzat, Miches Yisrael, Kaifa Echel Shnayim, Vishnayim La'arba, Umavdo, Miches Kahanim, Mekom Shiachai Mekaplo. Ask the Gemara. Here it says in the Braisa that the Michas Koy Mashiach was folded. But Varnat Tanan asked the Gemara, didn't our Mishnah say regarding the Michas Koy Mashiach, the Lo Hayu Mekapla, it wasn't folded at all? Answers the Gemara, Amarava, what it means is, Ena Mekapla L'Arba, it wasn't folded into four, Am Mekapla L'Shnayim. Actually, there's a very interesting Sfasemis. We've quoted earlier in our Masech, the Machloikis of the Rambam and Ravid. That we know that Michas Chavitim, which we're just speaking about, the Michas Koy Mashiach, the Torah tells us, Machtzisa B'Boika, Machtzisa Ben Abayim. Half was brought in the morning and half was brought in the afternoon. But as Machloikis, what does that mean? The Rambam is of the opinion that they baked the 12 loaves of the Michas Chavitim, and every loaf was divided into two. Half the loaf was brought in the morning, and half the loaf was brought in the afternoon. The Ravid says no, that they started off, like the Rambam says, with 12 loaves, but six whole loaves were brought in the morning, and six whole loaves were brought in the afternoon, says the Sfas Emes. The way we explain the Gemara seems to follow the opinion of the Rambam. Because our Gemara is teaching us that the Michas Koy Mashiach, unlike all other Koy Michas, weren't divided into four folds, they were only divided into two folds. Why? So if we follow, says the Sfas Emes, the opinion of the Rambam, that they brought half loaves in the morning, so these loaves were much smaller than the usual loaves used. So we understand why, even though normally a loaf is divided into four, these loaves were only divided into two. But if we're going to follow the opinion of the Ravid, that they brought six whole loaves, so they were identical in size to all other Kavim Minchas, so the halacha ought to be that just like all other Kavim Minchas, we fold it into four. Here too, we should have to fold it into four. The Mishnah said, "Rishimin ayin mechus kahan and mechus kahan Mashiach and ben b'sisa." Says the Gemara, "Amar Rabbi Yosef, Chai chavitza." When it comes to eat chavitza, and we're going to learn the Gemara the way Rashi explains, the chavitza is a cooked dish that had in it pieces of bread. Tosfos has a very different approach. Tosfos approaches that chavitza is a dish made up not of cooked bread, but they had bread combined with other ingredients to form the chavitza. So says Rabbi Yitzchak, this by Perurim Kazayis, if the crumbs are the size of the Kazayis, then Vachin Alei Amotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, less by Perurim Kazayis, but if it doesn't have enough Perurim to make up a Kazayis, Vachin Alei Bar Minim Mezoimus, then we make the Bar Minim Mezoimus. The way Rashi explains, you have to have one piece of bread that's the size of Kazayis. If there's one piece of bread in it, you make it mitzi. If there isn't any piece of bread that's the size of a kazayis, then you only make a mezonis. Amar Rav Yosef, to which Rav Yosef says, "Menah aminah." From where do we know this halacha? Says in one of the Tanya. It says in the Braisa, "Ha'yomid makariv menachas b'Yerushalayim." If somebody was bringing makariv karmin mincha in Yerushalayim, "Ha'yomid baruch shechiyonu v'kimiyonu." When he brings it, he says Shechiyonu v'Kiyumonu. So the Mefarshim point out, why does the Braisa say Yerushalayim? So certainly according to the opinions that we've discussed in our sugyas, that you don't make Shechiyon, that Kavim Minchas are not brought on a Bama, the word Yerushalayim is very understandable. However, even according to the opinion, say the Mefarshim, that Kavim Minchas could be brought on a Bama, in order to be able to say Shechiyonu, it has to be a Karban Mincha that's brought specifically in Yerushalayim. Now the question is, why is the Shechiyonu said? Who says, when is the Shechiyonu said? Rashi says that it's referring to the Shechiyonu when a Kohen does the Avodah, brings a Karban Mincha the first time in his life. Others say, other opinion is, that every year the first time he brings a Karban Mincha, he says a Shechiyonu. Taisu says that we know, as we've discussed many times, there were 24 Mishmeres in which the Kohanim were divided, and therefore it never came out that a Kohen should do the Avodah more than twice a year. So every time a Kohen comes with his Mishmer to do the Avodah, if he has the opportunity to bring a Karban Mincha, he makes a Shechiyonu. This pshat is actually very relevant to la halacha l'maisa. We know that a Shachiyanu is recited when one eats a fruit the first time in the season. What happens if there's a fruit that has that ripens twice a year? Do you make two Shachiyanus? According to this pshat, one would make two Shachiyanus. Another pshat is that it's referring to the Omer. The Omer is brought from the new crop, and since it's brought from the new crop, when one makes the Omer, when one brings the Omer, he should make the Shachiyanu. Now, this also is very relevant, La'aloch l'maisa. As we just said, the aloch is that when one eats a new fruit from this year, he makes a Shachiyanu. There are opinions that, however, suggest that one brings wine that came from this year's new crop, he should not make a Shachiyanu. Because it's not noticeable, you can't tell the difference between wine from this year and wine from the previous year. Here we see that the Mechas Omer, you can't tell if it was this year's barley or last year's barley, and yet you make a Shachiyanu. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest, it's not talking about the Mechas Omer, but it's talking about the Mincha when that's brought on Shavuos, the Shtei Alechem. And then there's a whole new pshat. All the pshatim that we've discussed till now refer to a Kohen doing the Avodah. Here we're referring to when a Yisrael, the first time Yisrael has the opportunity to bring a Karban Mincha, he makes a Bracha Shechion. Of course, this is a very complicated issue in Halacha. When should a Shechionu be said? When should a Shechionu not be said? On one hand, we find that Ramah says that the first time somebody does the mitzvah Kisui Nedam, he makes Shechionu. But we know that the Minhag HaOlam is that the first time somebody puts on tefillin, or the first time somebody puts on talis, they don't make a Shechionu. Why is Kisui Hadam different than all other mitzvahs? Some want to say because tefillin one could put on before he's bar mitzvah, so chinuch, and then by the time he becomes bar mitzvah, the tefillin are anew. But I saw one approach in the achroinim that may be a good rule to follow. A mitzvah that takes a certain amount of umnis, a certain amount of talent to fulfill, so when one has the opportunity to do that mitzvah the first time, he indeed makes a shachiyanu. Like our Gemara. Certainly, as we've been learning, bringing Karban Mincha is somewhat complicated. Whereas, a mitzvah that's done that's easily done, that doesn't require shachiyanu. Putting on tefillin, certainly putting on tzitzis, therefore shachiyanu is not made. Which really would be the answer to the question that the Chasam Soifer discusses. He discusses with a kala, the first time she goes to the mikvah, should she make a shachiyanu? According to this approach, perhaps she should not make a shachiyanu because it's not difficult to have to go to the mikvah. So go back to Gemara to the Braisa. I'm in a map of Menachos B'Shalayim. I'm a Baruch Shachiyanu Kamanu. Noitin Lacha. When one comes to eat this Karban Mincha, Mevarach HaMotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Now makes the Gemara our point. But tonight, we just learned in our Mishnah, the Kulam Pesisim B'Kazayis. The Mincha is broken into pieces the size of a Kazayis. That's why the Braisa says he makes HaMotzi. So from here we see that if you have a cooked dish with pieces of bread the size of a kazayis, you make a hamotzi. Amar Abaya asks Abaya for Yosef, Ulatana de Berib Shmuel de Omar, Mefarch and Achim Avzin Lusalton, that he holds that the piece is done until they're crumbled into flour. Hachnami, will you say that according to him, one Mevarach hamotzi? Hamotzi is not made on a Karban Mincha. Bechit Hema, and if you'll say, Hachinami, indeed. According to Rishmol, a Hamotzi should not be made on a Karban Mincha. But Tanya, but we learned in a Braisa, if somebody leaked Mekulam Vachloi, if somebody gathered bits of pieces of bread, and he ate it, Im Chametz, in a bit that are the size of Kazayas Vachloi, Im Chametzu, if it's Chametz on his Kores, and he eats it on Pesach his five Kores, in matzahu, if it's matzah, adam yotzei de chavos v'pesach. So we see, pieces of bread, even though they're smaller than the size of a kazayis, are still considered significant that you should make a brach of a mitzi. Answers the Gemara, answers Rav Yosef, hachem ha'eskim b'she'irson. He took the pieces of bread, and he put them back into one big dough, the size of a kazayis. Ask the Gemara, that's what the Braisa means. When do you, when is it, when are you yoitz the mitzvah? Or when is it considered that you ate chametz on Pesach Chas V'Shalom? If you ate it b'chdei chilas pras. A machlokes, what does that mean? Some say that the entire eating should have been done b'chdei chilas pras in the time it takes to eat a chilas pras, which we know is anywhere from 2 to 9 minutes. Others say there should never be a break, there should never be an interruption in the eating between one part eating and another eating, the shir b'chdei chilas pras. But if you continuously eat without any interruption, it can eat for as long as you want. Vivish Urson, if it's talking that they will recombine, then the wording of the Mishnah is difficult. Sh'och loy mibayelei. El hakam ma'eskinen. Therefore says the Gemara, it's talking about a case, the Bamalechem Gadol, that it started off with a large loaf, and the way most Mepharshim say that that large loaf is still here, and therefore if you have these small pieces, you still make a hamotzi. Other Rishonim say that as long as it started off from a larger loaf, it makes no difference if the remainder of the loaf is still here or not. My havala, what is the halacha? Rav Sheshet Amar, I feel a purim shame and kazayis, you make a hamotzi. Amar Rava, however, if it still looks like bread, only then is a hamotzi made. And of course, this Gemara is the basis for many questions in halacha on different bread related foods that we eat, what is the proper bracha? Some say from our Gemara it's clear that on French toast, which is fried in oil, you make our hamotzi. Because number one, it still has tereis in the hammer, looks like bread. And furthermore, a mincha also was michas machfas and michas macheshes, and the braisa clearly indicated that in a common mincha, we make a hamotzi. The question is regarding knedlich, matzah balls. What is the halacha if you make hamazaynus or hamaytzi? It seems that the opinion of most paiskim is if the matzah ball is boiled, then you don't make a hamaytzi. Number one, there's in general a question in the paiskim, if matzah, not on Pesach, is it a hamaytzi or a hamazaynus? And furthermore, since it was crumbled and cooked, you don't make a hamaytzi. If it was, however, fried, if you take pieces of bread and you fry them, there is much more of a question. The Mishnah Berurah says it should only be eaten in the middle of a meal. If one eats breadcrumbs, it seems that is the opinion of the Paiskim that you should make a hamotzi.